This is your day to shine, and mine too. Paul tells the church of Philippi, it is possible with God's help for you to shine like stars in the sky. That's a basic theme that we're looking at. And of course, that comes from Jesus. Let your light so shine. Or this remarkable statement in Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, at the end of one of Jesus' parables, he says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. We want to shine. We want to be stars, but we'll often run that race in the wrong way. I'll come back to that thought. Jesus says the way that we do it is by living in the kingdom of the Father. It's actually through surrender. Your will, not mine, be done. This contrasts to what Paul's talking about when he writes to the church at Philippi, chapter 3, verse 18. For I've often told you before, and I'll tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. So now let's translate that, because that language is unfamiliar and it can sound like, oh, there must be really bad people out there that are doing terrible things. No. This is talking about me, talking about you. When it says their God is their stomach, the idea here is it's not mostly about food. This is just simply the description of a life where my appetites, my desire is what's ruling my life. I want to have this, and so that's what I'll do. I want my will to be done. And of course, I'm capable of doing that all the time. And the contrast is to shine as I live in the kingdom of the Father. God, your will be done, your kingdom come. Starting with me, I can let go of demanding my will being done, my outcomes, what it is that I've got to have. I don't know why cat humor is always appreciated in churches. Pastor in Idaho at a meeting there was telling me recently his favorite story. Two dogs and a cat, a lab and a Doberman and a cat go up to heaven. They appear before God. God is sitting on his throne. It's magnificent, all golden throne, glittering with diamonds. You can hardly even look at it. And God says to each one of them, tell me what you believe so that I can know it's okay for you to come into heaven. And the lab starts, I believe in affection. I believe in loyalty. I believe in being willing to die for my master. God says, come on in. Says to the Doberman, what do you believe? I believe in discipline. I believe in training. I believe in being willing to die for my master. God says, all right, come on in. God says to the cat, what do you believe? And the cat says, I believe you're sitting in my chair. I like that story. And of course, that's someone whose God is their stomach. God, I don't trust you. I believe you're sitting in my chair. I believe that I will sit on the throne. This is the form that sin always takes way back to the third chapter of Genesis when the serpent's talking to Eve. Did God really say, can't eat from any tree? Can you really trust God? I don't think he's sitting in your chair. Now, in Philippi, this image of sitting in the wrong chair was actually a big deal. Because a lot of the desire that was present in Rome, as it is in our day and in Philippi, which was a Roman colony, was the desire for status, for elevation. I want to be king. I want to make myself shine. I want to be the star. And interestingly, one of the ways that this got expressed, and now Jesus is going to have to counter this, he's going to have a shine in a different way. One of the ways this got expressed was precisely through where you would get to sit. So this is Joseph Hellerman's book, Reconstructing Honor in Roman Philippi. And he talks about how seating at public events was structured very carefully to reinforce who's got lots of status and who's got no status. In our day, generally, if you go to a concert or a game or something, you can buy good seats if you got enough money. But in that day, it wasn't even a matter of money. It was a matter of social standing, of honor, of status. And seating reminded everybody of where you stand in this world. The orchestra was reserved for the Senate. Those were the people in the highest status. You might notice, even in our day, sometimes if you're going to a theatrical event, you might get orchestra tickets. But of course, the orchestra itself doesn't sit there. They're in the orchestra pit. Well, this goes back to the Greco-Roman world, orchestra was a word for the dancing section, and it's where the Greek chorus would be. And if you were the highest status, you got to sit there. That's why we still have those kind of tickets. The orchestra was reserved for the Senate, a rigid system segregated persons into distinct groups. Senators, equestrians, urban citizen commoners, non-citizens, women, and slaves. And this was enforced quite rigorously. At an exhibition of games early in Augustus' reign, the emperor noticed a common soldier seated among the 14 rows reserved for the equestrian class. He immediately had the soldier ejected. I believe you're sitting in my seat. And what's interesting is this demand, this hunger, their god is their stomach. I got to have status. I got to have standing. I got to look like a star in front of other people. This even gets into communities of faith. It can get into churches. It got into a religious community in Jesus' day called the Qumran community. You might have heard of them, associated with the Dead Sea Scrolls. Not only at public events like games and concerts and so, but also at banquets, at dinners. Seating was a big deal to express honor. I gotta have status. I gotta look good in front of other people. So, interestingly enough, even in the Qumran community, they seated themselves strictly at mealtime according to social status. Now, the attributes and qualities that contributed to a person's honor were conceived real differently there than they were in Rome. But that same preoccupation with status, what do people think of me, was present. So here's part of their rule. Each man shall sit in his place. The priest shall sit first, and the elder second, and all the rest of the people according to their rank. No man shall interrupt a companion before his speech has ended, nor speak before a man of higher rank. Each man shall speak in his turn. All of this now is background context for a story that you may well have heard of that reflects this reality. I think you might be sitting in my seat. Mark chapter 10. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. We'd like a blank check without telling you what it is. Jesus wisely says, what do you want me to do for you? They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Now, this reflects just this universal principle in the ancient world, still gets expressed in different ways in our world. Seats, all kinds of things indicate my honor, my status, and my God is my stomach. I want to look good. I want my desires to be gratified. I want my will to be done. I believe you're sitting in my seat. Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? We can, they say. Jesus says, no, he's running a different race. When the 10 heard about this, it says, they became indignant with James and John. I believe you're sitting in my seat. Now, here's the new race that Jesus is calling us to run. The Latin phrase, apparently, I don't know Latin, but the Latin phrase for the way that Rome and Greece and Philippi in the ancient world was structured was called the cursus honorum, the course of honors. And so there'd be a series of titles or offices, even if you were a slave in your little group where you'd want to climb that ladder. That's what it was about. Jesus brings what might in Latin be called or have been called the cursus servus. The course of serving, the way of serving. And the way that we shine is the opposite of the way that it looks in this world. It's not to become a star as our world thinks of a star. It's not about celebrity. It's not about fame. It's not about money. It's not about reputation. All of those things we're invited to let go of. I'm invited to let go of because it can sneak even into the church. It can sneak deeply into my heart and let go of that and simply seek to serve. And that's Philippians 2, Jesus being in very nature God. Now, that's the top title that you can get. Precisely because he was God, took on the very nature of a servant. Or Paul, this is the same thing in Philippians 3 when he talks about if anybody had reasons for confidence in the flesh, trying to shine on their own, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, in regard to zeal, a persecutor of the church, righteousness according to the law, faultless, all these things I now regard as rubbish. He's given up on the cursus honorum, even within the religious community, and like Jesus, now becoming a servant. So that's the invitation. I'll give you one more seating option. Revelation chapter 3, I think it's verse 21, where Jesus says, to the one who is victorious, and there the idea of being victorious is you just keep going, you just don't quit, you just persevere, you just endure. I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and I sat with my Father on his throne. Now, what does it mean to sit on Jesus' throne? It means to partner, get together with Jesus in work that is good and noble and delights the heart of God. And we're invited to do that now as we shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. You can do that. Just look for any way to serve today. I have a friend, and one of the things that he has begun to do now is he has found out he loves art, and he's quite energized by artistry, and he loves baking, and so he decorates cakes that go to children who are at risk or under-resourced, just as an expression of love. It can be as simple as that. Just through this day, I let go of my need for honor as the world describes it. Excuse me. I believe you're sitting in my seat. This is our day to shine.
Hey, thanks for joining us here at Become New. My name's Tim. I'm a part of the team. This is my dog. We hope you know that these are more than just videos to watch every weekday, but it's actually a community that you can be part of here at Become New. We distribute 10-minute teachings every weekday to help ourselves and others grow spiritually one day at a time. So we hope you'll tune in for those, but we also hope that you'll participate, chime in the comments, reach out to us. All of our contact info is in the show notes. And we really believe at Become New that there is no problem in human life that apprenticeship to Jesus cannot solve. We didn't come up with that phrase, that's from Dallas Willard, but it's at the heart of everything we believe and do. And we hope that these teachings help you become a better apprentice to Jesus. When I was thinking about the teaching today, especially that line, excuse me, you're sitting in my seat. Honestly, all I could think about were my kids, because when I take them to school every day, they are fighting over who gets to sit in the front. And so I'm definitely going to have my kids listen to this episode. But more close to home, I was just thinking about my own desire to be recognized, to be seen as important. And so I'm going to be spending time looking for opportunities today to let someone else go first, to let someone else have the recognition, to take the back seat, so to speak. What was your insight and takeaway from today? What was God speaking to you? Share it in the comments. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in.